Well, good evening, everybody. Stefan Molyneux from Free Domain. Not the longest show that we're doing tonight, but I am absolutely thrilled and overjoyed to see you dropping by tonight. Now, I have all the time in the world for your glorious and heaven-sent questions. So if you want to hit me up with questions, I'm happy to do that. I do have a rant, but, you know, if you guys prefer having me answer your questions as best I can, I'm very happy to do that, too. All right. Hello. In the movie Sound of Freedom, what are your thoughts about the character blatantly lying to the pedophile when he's undercover? Is it moral in this situation? So, in a free society, like, how do we get a free society, right? We get a free society. If you're having trouble getting video in various places, you can go to dlive.tv/freedomain, dlive.tv/freedomain, just seems to be good. So how do we get a free society? We get a free society when children are no longer abused. And I have started working on, well, now I've got like 20, 25 pages written of the Peaceful Parenting book. Unfortunately, it's just too ferocious for the mainstream right now. It is a huge amount of lifelong outrage about how children have been treated over the course of my life. So it's pretty savage at the moment, and that's just how it's going to have to be. Let's see here. So we get a free society when children aren't abused, so the ethics of lying to pedophiles, it's like, well, what do you do when there's a smallpox epidemic? Well, that's largely in the rear view, right? Now we have other epidemics. So it's bewildering to see how in documentaries about serial killers, it's always the same. They had normal childhood, nothing weird or suspicious, no trauma or anything. Let's move on. How did this killer cut up his victims? Yeah, it is a cover-up of the origins of evil. Yeah, of course, of course. And here's the thing, too. So if you have a serial killer, who are you asking whether the serial killer had a bad childhood? Are you asking the serial killer? Well, if he had processed or really understood his bad childhood, he probably wouldn't be a serial killer. Oh, I know. Maybe what you're doing is you're going to go and ask his parents. Did he have a good childhood? His parents raised a serial killer. I'm sure they're going to be totally honest about everything. Good morning from China. Good morning. Back to you. Moving to Alberta in a few weeks, just wondering if there's any advice on moving cities and provinces. Well, it's been a while, but I would say, I mean, I lived for 4 years in Quebec, although I spent summers back in Toronto. When you get to a new place, you got to join the groups. You got to join the groups. You got to get flesh to flesh, face-to-face time with people. You got to sign up for whatever you're interested in, and you got to join the groups. Because generally what happens now is people take their whole digital nomad group and they go around, and they don't end up meeting new people. You got to meet new people because new people, they know girls, right? And you want to meet girls, or you want to meet boys, assume, right? So, all right, let me get to your any other questions here. Questions, comments. Let me see here. Yeah, thank you for the tip. I appreciate that. You can, of course, tip. You can tip on... anyone here on Rumble? Did it come through on Rumble at all? Let me just see here. There's so many different ways to do things these days. It drives me mad, I tell you, mad. All right. Rumble, if you go here. My content. Is it going? I see. Why would I need to set up a new live stream? Why? Oh, well, forget that. Forget it. If they're going to make it that difficult, I'll just stay with what I've already got. All right. I come back to your comments here. It must be nice to have a team as opposed to... I don't think it's going on Rumble. I think it seems to be the case with Rumble that you have to set it up new each time. I don't know why, but if they make it easier, fantastic. Otherwise, not. So if you go to freedomain.locals.com, I just wanted to mention, this is not a sales pitch, but an offer. If you go to freedomain.locals.com, I've pinned my books. I pinned my books so that you can get a hold of my fiction in particular, the two new books, The Present and The Future. I know I'm not always known for my glorious titles, but these ones are actually quite accurate. And you can go to freedomain.locals.com. You can get the e-books. You can get the PDFs. You can get the audiobooks of my two new novels, The Present and The Future. You don't have to read them in order. I wrote them as The Future, which is sort of my Atlas Shrugged, and then I wrote The Present, which is my Join Me on the Raft as We Go Over the Niagara of Cultural and Moral Dissolution in the West. It's a dystopian novel, but leads to the optimism of the future. So, albeit with a 500-year gap. So not a small gap at all. All right. Let me just do one last thing here. To checky-check. To see the comments coming in on a variety of the places. Seems to be gone. So is it? Oh, yeah. I moved, didn't I? There we go. Have you ever done an audiobook version of Revolutions? No, I actually hired someone many years to do it, but it was pretty bad. So it didn't work. The link of Just Poor. Oh, I checked that. JustPoorNovel.com. JustPoorNovel.com if you want to get that book. Have you ever discussed in the past about when it is ethical to lie? Example, lying to Nazis where Anne Frank is hiding. Is that essentially self-defense at that point? So lying is not as bad as violence, right? Lying is not as bad as violence. So if you lie as a form of self-defense to prevent or bypass violence, then you're placing something better over something that is worse, which is kind of the hierarchy of values in philosophy, right? So it's ethical to lie when it protects the non-aggression principle. So, of course, the Nazis looking for Anne Frank. If you lie to the Nazis and don't tell them where Anne Frank is, which would be the right thing to do, then you are preventing her abduction and murder at the hands of the Gestapo in the concentration camps. So, yes, that would be a very good thing to do as a whole. Somebody says, I recently shared UPB with a friend. It was convenient to have a PDF link. Excellent, excellent. So, yeah, I hope that makes sense. And that's why, you know, if some guy says, I want to come kill your wife, I want to kill your wife, where is she? You don't tell her. You don't tell the guy where your wife is, right? Obviously, because lying to him is not a negative value. It's a positive value, in fact, if what it does is it reduces or eliminates violations of the non-aggression principle. So if somebody says, where's your friend? I want to beat him up. And right, then you don't say where your friend is because by lying, yeah, you don't owe liars the truth, and you don't owe violent people the truth, right? All the books in Moby, I think most of them are. So, yeah, it's a funny thing, you know, these sort of standalone morals that people have is pretty wild. So therefore, undercover cops are moral? Are you new here? I'm sorry, undercover cops are moral? Are you new here? How are police funded, my friend? How are the police funded? Through violations of the non-aggression principle. So if you're talking about present cops, you know, undercover cops are moral. So, yeah, if there's a group, a criminal gang that is violating the non-aggression principle and property rights, then, yeah, you absolutely. You absolutely are not obligated to tell them the truth. All right. How does hacking fit with UPB? Is it permitted like free speech because you're just sending data? Or is it like theft because you're using someone's computer without their permission? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, theft is trespassing. Sorry, hacking is trespassing because you are going into a computer system without permission. So it is trespassing and it is theft and it is a violation. It's like breaking into someone's house. Your computer is your property and people shouldn't break into it. So, all right. Hi, Steph. Your talk about sexual arousal in adults from spanking was very helpful. Would you be willing to talk sometime about why a man would be turned on by dominating and bitchy women? I know there are many red flags among women like this, so why do I find dominating women sexually arousing? Is this to do with early childhood interactions with females, mothers, teachers? Right. So, when you are born and you are a toddler and right, then your unconscious is busy working to figure out how you're going to be sexually successful. I mean, or romantically successful or pair bonding successful, whatever you want to call it. So your unconscious is scanning around and looking at what is sexual success in your environment, right? We can agree with that, right? And of course, we mostly grew up in tribes where everyone had kind of the same beliefs and so on. And so what you do when you're little is you say, okay, sexual success, romantic success, pair bonding success is essential. Who's the first example of sexual success? Right? So if you're a man, if you're a boy, right, and you're born, who's your first example of reproductive success? It's your father, right? And your father reproduced with your mother, and the way we evolved was to assume that most men would be like your father and most women would be like your mother. Because, again, there were tribes where there was not a huge amount of neurodivergence or diversity or cultural differences or moral differences. You believed in the same gods. You worshipped the same chieftain. You had the same rituals. You had the same stories. You had the same songs and music, right? So we imprint on our parents the template of genetic success. So if your mother was aggressive or bitchy or mean or whatever, right, then you would have to find that attractive because most of the women in the tribe would be the same way. And so if you couldn't find any way to find your mother or your mother's template of personality, obviously not your mother directly, but because that would be incest and obviously bad for your genetics and morally wrong and all that kind of stuff, but you would have to find aspects of your mother that would be reproducible by other women to be attractive, right? So if you had a bitchy mom, then you are programmed to find bitchiness attractive. Because if your mom's bitchy, likely most of the women in the tribe are bitchy. And if you don't find bitchiness attractive, your genes die out, right? Because you will be turned off by most of the women in the tribe, right? So. Random philosophy question. How do you define respect? Respect. So respect is a recognition that someone's behaviors are going to be positive and consistent. Positive and consistent. So yeah, when I played pool, like snookers or pool with my daughter when she was younger, she used to hit the ball wildly and then be really excited when it randomly went in. This drove me a little bit up a wall, right? Because what is excellence? Excellence is not accidental success, but consistent, reproducible success. Anyone can randomly swing a tennis racket and pull off an amazing shot. But can you do it repeatedly? Can you do it consistently? Can you do it in the direction that you want and so on, right? So respect is when you recognize that someone has consistently positive actions. Now, it depends. Respect could be, I respect the danger of the tiger or whatever, or the teeth of the shark or something, right? But respect is a recognition of integrity. Integrity is when you have consistently good behavior. Like people show up for this show, I hope, because it's consistently good, consistently insightful, consistently helpful. It's not like I'm 100 monkeys typing in a room trying to come up with a haiku, right? All right. My wife and I are on our honeymoon. Excuse me. We plan on having kids in the next year or two and raising them peacefully. What are some tips for newly married couples? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Might sound a little rude. I apologize for lifting the kimono in this way. Because I'm over 50, I have a colonoscopy tomorrow. Now, I've taken a bunch of medicine to clear my system, And I can either do a short show or I can do a long show with a few breaks. If you want a short show, hit S. If you want a long show, hit L. Just let me know. I want to serve you. I'm happy to do philosophy either way. I don't know if you've ever gone through this kind of stuff, but it's all quite exciting. Yeah, okay. You want a long show? I can't believe you're going to make me do it. I'm just kidding. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Yeah, we'll do a long show. Just I'm going to have to edit it a bit, and there'll be a couple of breaks. Okay, so what are some tips for newly married couples? Well, the only tip for newly married couples is that your wedding is your marriage. Your wedding day is your marriage. The love, the affection, the tenderness, the joy, the excitement, the happiness, the enthusiasm, that's your marriage. Anytime that you find yourself becoming a little weary in the marriage or rolling your eyes a little or whatever it is, right, then you just return back to that infinitely deep well of your marriage day and remember staring into your bride's eyes and the excitement and the joy that you had in the beginning of this wonderful journey. Go back and refill your wineskin at that infinite well. That's really important. The other thing, too, like I remember when I got married, I guess I was kind of raised on the propaganda that men and women are mostly the same and so on. And it just took me a little while to go, like, my wife is really different from me. And that's great. I mean, I guess I'm not gay, right? So recognize that your wife is going to have interests and perspectives and to-dos and ideas and emphasis on things that just are going to be kind of incomprehensible to you. Women are delightfully incomprehensible. Men are delightfully incomprehensible. And just vive la différence, right? Enjoy the fact that she's going to have different perspectives, different ideas, different goals. And not just roll with it, but embrace it and love it. All right, so let me get to your comments. Do a short show. You have a colonoscopy tomorrow. Well, that doesn't change whether I have it tomorrow or not. Take us on a tour of your washroom. Certainly not while I'm doing this stuff and so on. So basically, you have to just cleanse everything out of your system. So you have a bunch of stuff that you have to... sorry, this is like the worst conversation for the couple who are on their honeymoon. But anyway, apparently it's quite important over 50. So talk to your doctor. Yeah, it's salt water, basically, that you have to do. And it's just like, wee, I'm a jet ski. I'm basically one of those guys with tubes attached you see on lakes in Ontario here, where they just, they got the jet pack of water coming out the bottom and they just, all of this kind of stuff. So no eating? No, I haven't eaten today. So your feet today, Steph, they were everything you said they were. You know, I really try not to lie to the audience and it's true. All right, somebody says, I'm at a stage where I can see some good aspects of one of my parents. It's been 4 years since cutoff, and my anger has subsided. I can admit he was right about quite a few things, especially people. But I learned the hard way and wasted time. Unfortunately, that parent discredited himself in other ways, and my anger made me disrespect anything he said. Could this be a form of sabotage, to send mixed signals so that a child cannot discern good from bad? Yeah. So, you know that the way that evildoers, and I'm not talking about your parent in particular, don't obviously know, but the way that evildoers get away with what they do is, I mean, they're not evil all the time. They're not evil in public. They're not evil. All of this kind of stuff, right? Yeah, Jell-O and beef broth. It's not. Yeah, I haven't. Oh, you have Crohn's disease? Oh, I had a friend who had Crohn's disease. Probably still does, of course. I'm so sorry about that. Yeah, I haven't eaten in, I guess, a little over 24 hours, other than I had a little beef broth and some half a bowl of Jell-O. He's getting scoped, yeah. Yeah, so it's my first. I guess my cherry is going. All right, he's got an unpleasant day tomorrow. Yeah. If you're eating. So let's see. Yeah, so what evildoers do is they're not consistently evil, right? They are nice and pleasant, and then, right, and then they're nice and pleasant, and then, right, so they play you like a fish. Right? You don't just yank a fish, right? Just break the line, right? So you got to let the fish play. You got to let it run. You got to pull it up a little. You got to tire it out, right? Most things that are corrupt are, you know, the con man starts off really nice and pleasant and so on, and so Yeah, it's a very important test. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. My mother was very evil. She was like a lamb in public. She was frightened of the state authorities, though. Yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, we know this. This is how evil is a choice, is that there's times when it's when the opposite is chosen, right? There's times when evildoers are perfectly pleasant and wonderful and all of that, so. A co-worker of mine said having a colonoscopy was relaxing. Well, I guess you get to be out, right? I've only ever been out once, which was for the surgery on my neck. That's the only other time I've ever been out. All right, let me just get your comments. So yeah, a parent that wants to woo you back is going to be super nice. And then when you get involved and you get back under their power and they believe that, then here's the problem, right? So if you've cut someone out of your life, hopefully for good reasons, I'm sure they're good reasons, right? If you've cut someone out of your life, then you face significant danger when they lure you back in, right? Because they're going to lure you back in, and what's going to happen, right? What's going to happen when they lure you back in? When they're super nice and maybe they apologize and maybe they're, oh, I'm so sorry and, you know, I've done some therapy and, right, they lure you back in. Let's say they haven't fundamentally changed, right? They haven't fundamentally changed. They lure you back in. And then what? Well, they're luring you back to strike, right? So, yeah, you have to be really, really careful. You know, like if an ex-girlfriend, like you broke up with a girlfriend, it was really bad, she was kind of crazy, she was really angry, and then she invites you over to her place a week or two later, what's going to happen? Bad things, right? Maybe she's got an STD, maybe she wants to get pregnant, maybe she's just going to accuse you of something bad, right? So if things end badly, it's really tough trying to get anything good out of that afterwards, right? Somebody says, I'm having trouble lately managing my short temper, specifically around my partner. Any tips on controlling my snappiness? Hit me with a Y if you've ever had to deal with a temper. I will certainly put a Y in. My teens and 20s, I had quite the Irish/German flame war going with the planet. You ever had to deal with a real temper? Right. So anger. And we're talking about unjust anger here. A lot of anger is very helpful. So anger results from the violation of expectation. The violation of expectation. You expect things to go well, they go badly, you get angry. You expect your partner to be there at 7, she shows up at 7:30, yeah, you get angry. You have an expectation, that expectation is violated, and you get angry. And it's a way of punishing people for violating your expectations. So if you want to figure out your temper, you have to figure out what are the expectations underneath it? Right? What are the expectations behind it? What's happening behind your temper that you are getting angry? Yeah, who hurt you? My expectations, right. Are your expectations rational? Now, here's the other thing. Anger is violated expectations, and you respond in an aggressive way. Why? Why do you respond in an aggressive way? You respond in an aggressive way because you don't trust that the person will make you feel better out of love, right? So if you have someone in your life, they wrong you. If you believe that you say, listen, this really upset me, this bothered me, they're like, oh, like, I'm so sorry, what can I do to help? What can I do to fix this? And they give you a big hug, and right? If you don't believe that someone is going to right the wrong because they love you, then what's your alternative? What's your alternative? You have to punish them, right? If they don't have empathy for you and right the wrong because they wronged you or they hurt you or it upsets you, then you have to punish them, right, in order to get them to change their behavior. Somebody says, I don't show anger anymore. It's pointless. I just swallow it and regret some choices I made. Well, why would you let the world censor you in that way? Why would you let the world censor you so that you don't express an emotion? That seems odd to me. I mean, if you have the emotion, what's wrong with expressing it? I don't know what it means to say it's pointless. Anger is a very healthy emotion. And people in your life need to know if you're angry. Doesn't mean that you yell at them, call them names, doesn't mean you're abusive or anything like that. Abuse is a form of self-loathing desperation. Abuse is a form of self-loathing desperation. So abuse happens when you desperately want someone to change and you have no credibility with yourself or anyone else. You have no credibility with yourself or anyone else. If my daughter does something that annoys me, I'll say, well, that was annoying. You know, I mean, I feel annoyed. I'm not saying like you're annoying. I'm just saying I feel annoyed at what happened. And usually it's very good. And I expect the same from her. And she does that from time to time. But, you know, when people annoy me on the stream, I don't call them names or anything. I sort of say what's going on for me. Yeah, why do you get so frustrated with technology and malfunctioning appliances? Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. Every now and then, if I'm sort of walking around doing a show, the cord will snag on something. I'm sort of in the middle of a speech or in the middle of a sort of in-depth unpacking of someone's history, and the cord will snag on something, and then it might rip out the audio, right? And then I don't know if I have to stop and restart. Like, it's just, it's so incredibly annoying and frustrating. And of course, you know, tech issues and so on, like, just can be annoying and frustrating. Because I, you know, a lot of this house of cards kind of runs together. And I have chosen to not have a team, right? Some alternative media guys have like a team of 5 or 10 or 20 people to make everything run, right? And I have not chosen to take that approach. So I'm saving some of your lovely and kind donations by not having a big team. By not having a big team, yeah, maybe use Bluetooth. Bluetooth is just, I mean, stone evil for the most part. Bluetooth, I assume, is a technology inflicted by Satan to take away all of the advances of efficiency engendered by the Industrial Revolution. It just puts us back into the Stone Age. So I think anger is very helpful and healthy and important emotion. But when people are unjustly, like if you violate someone's expectations and those expectations are unjust, then they will tend to use aggression to cover up that injustice, right? So if your parents say, they yell at you that you shouldn't yell at people, right? That's clearly so unjust that the aggression is there to cover up the injustice of the expectation. So could you please elaborate on the Bluetooth comment? So a lot of times connecting Bluetooth is like trying to have sex with a snow yeti in the fog when the snow yeti is also made of fog. So it's crazy. Like I in my car, if I try to attach Bluetooth to my phone, it just doesn't work. It'll attach for calls, but it won't attach for music. So if I don't remember to do this before I leave, I don't get Bluetooth on the car. What I have to do is I have to put the car in park. I have to add a new thing and connect, and then it usually stays connected. But even then, it will sometimes drop connection. Also, Bluetooth is a weird thing as well. Like in some cars, it will just connect and play music whether you want it to or not. Like there's no option for it. Just connect and play music no matter what. The number of times that I've tried to connect things through Bluetooth, and literally you can spend 10 or 15 minutes just watching some stupid swirly shit go round and round and round with nothing ever happening to you. So, yeah, the local stream, it might be a little stuttery, in which case you can go to dlive.tv/freedomain. I'm doing 60 frames a second because I just like to be fluid, man. Actually, I feel half fluid these days as part of what I was talking about, or tonight at least, so. Yeah, well, you know, if there's no video via the phone, it's not like audio is absolutely essential. Yeah, my car Bluetooth very aggressively plays what was last playing. Not always desirable. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had it where you start up the car, Bluetooth connects, and some music comes blasting out of the speakers, and it's just like, gives you a heart attack, right? It's like, I don't want that feature. Why? I don't want that. And maybe there is, I remember being at a friend's place once and he had these, you have these speakers in the ceiling and you've got this Bluetooth stuff on the wall and so on. And he was just like, he tried for like 10 or 15 minutes to connect his Bluetooth to the speakers. And he eventually what he did was there was a 3.5 millimeter audio cable port. So he just connected that. And it's just like, okay, so after all of that, you just go low tech and put a cable in to the speakers. It's pretty wild. Maybe the newer Bluetooth stuff is, but yeah, it's just, it's terrible. Just terrible as a whole. So it doesn't connect when you want it to connect half the time, and then the other half of the time, it connects when you don't want it to connect, right? When Aristotle said something like, a friend to all is a friend to none, is that saying that if you're not selective about who you're friends with, then you're not worth much as a friend, or something else? No, he's saying that a friend to all, why would somebody be friendly to everyone? Because they're either cowardly and don't want to offend anyone, or they're manipulative and want to be thought well of by everyone in order to exploit them. You must value yourself enough to filter those around you, right? I mean, you must. I mean, would you buy a car from someone if that person had never, ever shown you a picture of it? No. You have to, I mean, you verify, right? So if you have someone in your life, let's say somebody's an acquaintance and they're interested in becoming friends, or maybe there's some compatibility, then you filter for values, right? You filter for values. Why would you not filter for values? Why would you not filter for trustworthiness? I mean, one of the things that happens with friends, of course, is that you tell them things that are kind of personal, right? Hit me with a why. Hit me with a why if you've ever had a friend betray your confidence, your secrets, so to speak, your privacy, right? Hit me with a why if you've ever had a friend betray your confidence. And that's a bad thing to do. It's a bad thing to do. I'm a huge amount of vault. I have a lot of vaults, right? It's just part of being a semi-public figure is, yeah, it's horrible, right? So given how, and it can be really bad, right? It can be really bad. So given how bad it is, when people betray your confidence, why wouldn't you check to see if someone is trustworthy before telling them your secrets, your vulnerabilities, your thoughts, your, right? I mean, if you're going to put your money or your some valuables into a bank safely deposit box, do you just throw it into the bank and run away? Right. Yeah, you tell them things like issues you're working on, then they use it against you later. Absolutely. You could say, I mean, gosh, give me some examples of how your confidence has been betrayed. I, of course, when I was younger, a teenager, I told a friend of mine I was attracted to a girl, and then he told the girl in the most awkward way, and it just kind of wrecked it. It's rough, man. So yeah, you want to trust people, right? You don't want to be betrayed in that kind of way. So what you do is you, before you tell people your thoughts, your secrets, your hidden most, innermost, whatever, you find out whether they're trustworthy, and you test this bit by bit, right? You tell them a little thing, tell them a little bit more and so on, and see if they can keep their yap shut. You know, it just seems to be impossible. See, do you know the economy of how this works? Do you know the economy of secrecy? You know why? See, when you tell someone a secret, you have given them a currency, a coin, a value, right? And so they can get attention by revealing your secrets. Oh, do you know what so-and-so told me? And everyone's like, oh, what did so-and-so tell you, right? So you have put them in a position of value. You've elevated them, or potentially elevated them, in terms of social status, right? I mean, it's a funny thing, right, in society, right? Somebody says, I helped one guy a lot at work. Then when I needed help with something, he told me I was incompetent. I felt like ripping his head off. Yeah, that's an exploiter. I can understand that. So, I mean, I find it odd. So if someone says, do you want to know a secret about someone? I say no. Do conservatives tend to corporally punish children much more than liberals? I think they do, but liberals, use gaslighting and psychological abuse and propaganda, which has a worse effect in the long run. So, yeah, I don't want to hear people's secrets, right? Why is it so satisfying to spill a secret? Because you have attention that you did not have to earn. You get attention, you have value, people are interested in what you have to say, it's really cool, oh, tell me more, right? And so you have people's attention and they hold you in relatively high esteem, or at least they're paying you attention, giving you focus. You didn't have to earn it by being thoughtful or intelligent or brilliant or well-read or anything. You just have to break confidence with other people and suddenly you're everyone's buddy and everyone's interested and so on, right? And of course, it's low IQ, right? I mean, it's very clear, right? If you have a friend who tells you it's something in confidence and then you go and blab it to the world, I mean, nobody with any quality will spend any time with them, right? Because they betrayed a friend, right? Or somebody says, I hate people telling secrets, so low life drama. Somebody says, I told a friend's secret about anxiety issues I had and he announced it during a co-ed university basketball game. That really stung. Yes, so when you have a secret, then you are handing somebody power over you and they can use it to denigrate you and elevate themselves, right? So if you tell, like in this particular instance, what happened? Your friend was probably in competition for an attractive girl or some attractive girls, and so he decided to lower your status and raise his status by denigrating you, right? Somebody says, that makes sense. When I felt very low socially, I would tell almost anything to anyone. Yeah, for sure. Will I review Barbie and Oppenheimer? I think Barbie is going to be a complete disaster, but hit me with a B if you would like me to review the Barbie movie. Hit me with a B if you'd like me to review. I would probably go with my daughter, right? B, 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 B. All right. Since you all want me to, you are a beautiful person. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let the bodies hit the floor. Did Izzy ever have a Barbie? Izzy was never particularly interested in dolls. Let's see here. I always felt honored if someone tells me something in confidence. I got it like a dragon guards its treasure. Yes, I suppose my deathbed book will be all the things that I've kept silent over the years. All the things I've kept silent about over the years. And it is a lot. A lot. All right. I'm a bit confused by what gossip is and isn't. If I tell someone something, I don't mind if they tell others. Well, it's not gossip then. Gossip is when you're telling things that people have asked you to hold in confidence or which you can reasonably expect that they want held in confidence. In other words, if someone tells you something somewhat embarrassing or vulnerable or maybe a little humiliating and they tell you one-on-one rather than telling the story as a whole, the default is that it's a secret, that it's silent, that it's to be kept in confidence. Somebody says, I thought I had earned trust in a friend who I regularly hung out with, and then he believed some rumor from a guy he knew more, but the guy maybe comes by two or three times a year, that I was doing shady stuff, and it drove a wedge until I realized that maybe the guy I regularly hung out with wasn't worth my trust. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's really, really tragic. Yes, we were in competition for a girl. You're right, Steph. Yeah, so friend sabotage. Now, of course, a high-quality woman, if she sees a man sabotage his friend, what does a high-quality woman do? I mean, I think we all know the answer to this one. Yeah, well, the high-quality woman says, well, this guy's really insecure because he's sabotaging his friend, which means he doesn't feel like he can compete with his friend. He's not honest about it. He wants something he hasn't earned, which is me, so I'm going to run. Yeah, you're going to have... Well, no, yeah. Tell him, shut the F up. Not really. Oppenheimer could also be an opportunity to discuss the morality of dropping nukes on Japan. Very interesting. Yes, could talk about that. So, all right. O for Oppenheimer. Give me an O. I'm nervous that Oppenheimer is coming out to prime people for nuclear false flag. I saw this very funny meme. It was
It was a guy sitting at the very front row of Oppenheimer, and his face just went progressively more and more bright until you could only see his eyeballs. Memes are just too funny. I don't know why anybody goes to see comedians anymore, because memes are just too funny. Why no tips today? Just out of curiosity. We've got a lot of people watching. Why no tips? Is it because I teased you with a rant and didn't give it to you? But I'm enjoying this conversation. I think the topic of secrets is very, very interesting. But yeah, if you could tip, I would. You can tip on the app too, if you like. I would really, really appreciate that. All right, let me just get you. A quality girl doesn't go for the saboteur, which is what happened. She picked another guy who was playing on her team. Right. Yeah. I mean, so sabotaging your fellow man with regards to competing for a woman, sabotaging your fellow man is to make sure that a quality woman stays away from both of you, right? It's a way of keeping, like, because only a trashy woman would be interested in that. Or just respond positively to that kind of sabotage. It's really, really unpleasant. I mean, I think we all have the urge. We all have the impulse. And you know that old thing, all's fair in love and war. There's a little bit of truth in that. I mean, certainly from an evolution standpoint, yes. Somebody says, on the topic of mate competition, a couple of live streams ago, you talked about women lowering the value of younger girls by cutting their hair. A woman I'm attracted to cut her beautiful, thick hair really short. Why, guy? Right. Well, you know. Do you know what? Yes, if you've already noted, of course, that doesn't apply to you. I really appreciate that. Do you know how the devil gets his way with women? Do you know how the devil gets his way with women? So the devil says to women, it says to men too, it says to everyone, it's not love if they love you for something. Because if they love you for something, they only love that thing and not you. You want to be loved for you, don't you? You want to be loved for who you are, your essence, who you are deep down. And if the man just likes you because you've got nice hair, how do you know he doesn't just like you for your hair? So if you really want to find out if someone truly loves you, if you can truly trust them, then what you do, cut your hair, see if he loves you. That's how he gets you, right? You don't just exist for the male gaze. You don't just exist to please men. You've got to be loved for who you are, independent of all of that stuff. Some ineffable Kantian nirvana-based essence. Right? I mean, there's a meme. It was a picture of a girl crying on a plane, and somebody said, she's literally crying because he said he might not love her if she was a worm. I mean, it's like, you know, saying to a man, well, you know, maybe the wife and the mother of your eight children, maybe she just loves you because you give her money. You know, she doesn't love you. She just loves the money, man. So you just, you know, you got to stop giving her money just to see if she still loves you. Because otherwise you just, it's very shallow, right? Oh, you know, he just loves you because you're slender, you know? Like, you shouldn't have to be slender. You don't, your body doesn't exist to just give him pleasure and for him to ogle at and look. You got to be loved for who you are, so it shouldn't matter at all if you gain weight, right? It's vile. And so utterly, utterly false. Do you know what the answer is to these things? I don't want to bore you if you know this answer, right? But do you know what the answer is to this nonsense? Women only exist to please the male gaze. Someone says, awesome, I'm going to quit my job, sit on the couch, eat Cheetos, watch Netflix, and be loved till the day I die. Well, Cheetos and Netflix will love you then. So, the answer to this nonsense is this. Why do I stay slender and why do I exercise? I mean, it's health and all of that. I've got a responsibility to keep the brain that I think does good in the world north of the grave. Do I exist to be appealing to my wife? Yeah. Yes, of course.
I mean, I could do all of my shows in this kind of voice. I can do the shows through my nose, and I knew the same wisdom would still be there. Maybe people just like me
because my voice is relatively pleasant. I could do shows, Muggins. Yes, absolutely. I could absolutely do shows, and I could still get the same amount of energy in across, and I could still get the same insides across. It'd be entirely punchable. You stay fit so you get tipped to take your shirt off. That's a lot of years of fitness for $100. So, was that your Jerry Lewis nerd voice? There's your thumbnail. I could do the voice like a vocal fry. I could just do it this way. I could do the same level of insights and answers in this way. No vocal fry. I'm a vocal fry chef. No, I mean, why? Why do I attempt to make... I could do the shows as I could do... Read off a bunch of syllogisms. No verbal acrobatics. No analogies, no metaphors, no poetry, no humor. Right? A Jared Taylor impersonation. I don't think I could do a Jared Taylor impersonation. Quite. Brigadier... General, Major General, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that's a real blast from the past. Absolutely.
I will. Metaphysics is a really interesting study, field of study. I recall hiking the Burma Road back in 1932, I believe it was, and I remember many of our Sherpas falling by the wayside as the Bengal tigers reach out from the jungle and claw them. I am not such a moody aristocrat, so I didn't view that as a significant loss. I shouldered the burdens myself, and on we trekked.
Anyway, I could do that forever and ever, amen. So, Gilbert Gottfried. Yeah, that guy had quite the shrieky voice, didn't he? I knew a girl I sent a link to a show of yours, and she listened for 10 minutes and stopped, but lied and said it was because your voice is too nasally for her to listen to the important topic. I am the very model of the modern Major General. Right. Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, maybe one day. I mean, I studied a lot of accents when I was younger, so I can do a bit of a tour of the world. So, yeah, Jared Taylor. It's an interesting voice, yeah. So, yeah, but I want to be appealing to my wife. Of course I do. Because we have a monopoly on love and affection with each other, and certainly on, right? So, but my long, beautiful hair. Like, I don't just exist for the male gaze. No, but the male gaze gets it started, right? Male gaze gets it started. You want to be beautiful physically as much as you can. You want to be beautiful so that you can attract a mate. I mean, it's this massive self-contradiction to say women shouldn't be appealing to men when the only reason anybody exists is because women were appealing to men. I mean, it's a complete self-contradiction. If your ancestors had did what you did, you wouldn't be here. So you're only here to tell us that women shouldn't be appealing because there have been thousands of generations of women who worked to be appealing. That's crazy. Yeah, so it's interesting, right? Have you hit me with a why if you've ever had a woman tone police you? You ever had a woman tone police you? Look, it's not what you're saying that's the problem. It's just the way that you're approaching it. You don't have to be that aggressive. You certainly don't have to be rude. You don't have to be confrontational. There's lots of different ways to get your truth across, and you need to package it in a way that's appealing to other people or at least acceptable to them. If you come on so strong, you're just going to alienate people, and I'm trying to help you get your message across, but you need to understand how you're landing from others. How you're landing from others is very off-putting. It's very unappealing. And if you look at other people, they will package up their
messages. I can't even tell the truth about what you're saying because the way that you come across is so offensive and so aggressive. But if you look at other people, they're able to get ideas across, even quite controversial ideas, without being this aggressive, without being upsetting. I'm just saying, for the sake of what you obviously consider to be very important, study other people, see how they get their message across so that you can get your message out there without provoking all of this unnecessary blowback. You ever get this? You ever get this tone policing? Oh, yeah. Isn't it something? Put the estrogen down. Is that the same thing teachers said in high school? Know your audience. Yeah. Yeah, the tone policing is crazy, right? Let me just get to your comments here on this. I was tone policed in anonymous feedback at a job once. I responded to my boss that I couldn't do anything with that feedback whatsoever. When you ask for specific criticisms, prepare for the fog. Oh, yeah. So you say, well, what's wrong in what I'm saying? Is there anything correct? And it's not about the truth or falsehood in what you're saying. It's about the tone that you're using. It's disrespectful. It diminishes others. It belittles others. It excludes others. It's alienating to others. So if you want me to listen to you, if you want me to listen to the actual content of what you're saying, you need to be a whole lot less offensive. Otherwise, you're never going to make it anywhere in this world because people don't want to listen to other people who are just offensive. Because if you care about the message, you'll package it in a way that people will want to consume it. So if you come across that aggressive, what you're telling me very clearly is it's all about your ego. It's not about the facts that you want to get across. It's not about making the world a better place. It's just you loving the sound of your own voice, loving coming on strong, being a troll, upsetting people, shocking people, blah, 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 blah. Like, I can't hear what you're saying over the offensiveness of what you're doing. This is the tone police. We've got your arguments completely surrounded. It's the dream police. Boy, who sang that song? I don't even remember now. You cannot be spontaneous ever. You must put everything through the gynocentric filter. Yeah. My God, you're a genius of bowel manipulation. Cheap Trick, that's right. Best song Cheap Trick ever did. Come on, give me the best song Cheap Trick ever did. That's a band from the 70s. Come on, best song. Cheap Trick had one fantastic song. Well, probably more than one. I want you to want me. Yeah, that was a good one. What was the other one called? Surrender. Ah, great song. But don't give yourself away. Yeah, that's a great, great song. Surrender. Dream Police. Yes. I Want You to Want Me is a great song. Letters from Cleo did a great cover of that. And Surrender is fantastic. So yeah, well worth checking out. All right. So for women, and look, none of this is relevant to the women in my life. It's just women I've known over time, women that I see in my occasional forays online. Hit me with a why if you've ever heard that a woman won't do something because she's not in the mood. Hit me with a why if a woman has ever said she won't do something because she's just not in the mood. She just doesn't feel like it. It's not working for her. It's just, she's not motivated. It just doesn't feel right. Just, you know, right. Right. Now, I mean, the typical example is sex and all of that, but all right. Now, if you're a man, hit me with an M if it's perfectly valid if your wife or your girlfriend or your mother wants you to do something and you say, I'm sorry, I'm just not really in the mood. Hit me with an M if that's ever been perfectly acceptable. If you say to a female, she wants you to do something, I'm not really in the mood, sorry. It's not really working for me. I don't really feel like it. It's worked for you? One person. Right. So, if you've got a wife at home, and hit me with the day, what happened on the day
you least wanted to go to work. Maybe you were taking vile salt water for a colonoscopy. What was the day you really, really didn't want to go to work? I crapped my pants. Right. Wouldn't speaking with no tone simply be a bore monotone? So while you're giving me those answers, I will tell you a day I vividly remember. Oh my God, did I ever not want to go to work on this day? So working up north, and we had like deep snow. Like it was thigh to waist deep snow. And some of it was really fluffy. It was hard to get through. You needed snow. Snowshoes are tough, like a big tennis racket through your feet. But you also had to carry 80 pounds drills and drill bits and all. Like it was just, you're humping through the snow. It was tough, even in the best of conditions, right? But there's no point taking a day off because you're stuck in a little tent in minus 35 degree weather. So I remember, but occasionally we would, like if it was super hailing or whatever, right? Then, so I remember waking up, the fire had gone out. It was cold as a witch's tit. You wake up and you're in this, you know, we had these giant sleeping bags. Like if you can imagine the warm, meaty vagina of a fire troll or a fire giant female, right? Just go in there. Oh, it was so warm. And any part of you that was outside would like be ding. You're going to get wind chimes off it in the morning, right? So you're kind of in this thing and you've been sucking your own CO2 for quite some time because you just don't want to get out. Anyway, so I woke up and I heard, and I look up and we had sort of thick canvas on the tent and you could see the sharp divots of the hailstones coming down. It was minus, I remember when the guy says, "Well, just check the temperatures, minus 39. It's minus 39 and it was hailing like buckshot out of the sky, like golf ball. And but our boss had flown up to check out some of the drill sites. My boss was like, "No, come on, boys, let's go." And that was not much of a fun day. Now, I mean, do you think that I could say, "Sorry, I'm not feeling it. I'm not in the mood. I don't really feel like it's not working for me, man. It's not hitting me the right way." He's like, "Come on, get up. What am I paying you for?" I'm like, "Excuse me. I really don't appreciate this tone. I really do not appreciate the way that you're speaking to me right now. It feels very disrespectful. It feels very rude. It's unpleasant. It's undermining me. It's erasing me. You're not listening to me. It's rude. I can't deal with this right now. I can't do this right now." What did I say? "Okay." Because I'm a man, right? You know, women turn on the water to rinse their face, take their makeup off, right? Now, the people who run the water, the pipes, the plumbing, the sewers, do they just get to sit there and say, "I mean, you know, you probably wanted water today, but I just really wasn't feeling it. You know, I just woke up." You ever have those days where you just wake up and you're just like, "Something's not right. Like, I wasn't ill or anything. I just feel like off." You know, does that make any sense to you? I just feel like not quite myself. I don't, maybe it's a little inner ear thing. I don't have anything specific, but I just feel off. And so I can't do things. Oh, I couldn't. That was like, we were like half a day's flight in the bush. Yeah, not in the mood. Isn't that, as a man, I'm going to, just honest question, as a man, can you imagine having an excuse called, "I just don't feel like it"? And that being, okay. Like having a get out of life free card, or a get out of responsibility free, or get out of obligation free card. Called, "Yeah, I don't feel like it." "You're drafted." "No, I don't really feel that. I don't feel that way. I don't feel drafted. I don't experience draftiness." No, can you imagine? "I need a mental health day. I'm feeling overwhelmed." Isn't that wild? Somebody says, detailing farm equipment is a, in a blizzard for an auction the next day, was required to go out and clean off equipment in the blizzard. I quit that day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I remember when I worked in the hardware store, whoever drew the short straw when we had to do inventory would get the plumbing section, which was just crazy amounts of counting. It was just, and it was really dull. On your feet, soldier?
Yeah.
I'm not feeling it. Somebody says, unless I'm really very sick, then I always go to work no matter what. Yeah, I don't honestly like people who do that. If you are, you know, it's like if you're a parent, hit me with the why. If you're a parent and people have invited you over and only after you come over and you've been there for a little while, do they say, oh, yeah, no, two of the kids have colds. Do you ever have that? I mean, that's rude, right? I've told people, I've said, look, I speak for a living. I don't particularly mind colds except for the sore throat. I don't particularly care about the stuffiness. I don't really get headaches. But I can't stand sore throats because I talk for a living, right? That's what I do. I mean, I'm like Pavarotti, right? Pavarotti, everyone had to stay 6 feet away from him. He wouldn't shake anyone's hand because if he gets a sore throat, man, he loses like $1 million a night. Like, I have to protect the voice. I don't like getting colds just for that particular reason. Colds cost me a lot of money, and they cost the world, I hope, a fair amount of philosophical wisdom. So, yeah, it bothers me. So, yeah, if you're sick, stay home, man. Oh, I got to get the work done. It's like, well, all you're doing is making other people sick, so they don't get the work done. It's weird. Yeah, chickenpox parties and all of that, right? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's... Does that female excuse work for activities other than leisure? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You should watch the movie All Quiet on the Western Front. I started it, but I simply can't watch European Brother Wars anymore. Like, I just can't do it. I can't. I don't really watch war movies anymore. The book itself is one of the most horrible things I've ever had to read. Not ever had to read, but that I've ever read. So, women, and men do this as well, but I think women do it more explicitly. So, a woman has a form of satanic lust possession, which she excuses to pursue the bad boys, and she calls it chemistry. We just don't have any chemistry. I don't feel like I need chemistry with him. There's just no chemistry. People who couldn't crack a chemical formula to save their life, what about the chemistry? And chemistry is just a woman's way of saying that I'm going to let lust and momentum decide who might get to impregnate me. There's no spark. There's no spark anymore. There's no spark. Oh, it's horrendous. Yeah, when kids have headlights, that's horrendous. Somebody says, when I did sound engineering, New Year's Eve was always the worst. Long, long hours, backbreaking work, surrounded by drunk people. Yeah, I vividly remember when I worked at Pizza Hut, unfortunately drawing a shift on New Year's Eve and then wildly trading with people to get out and get to a party, man. Seemed so important at the time. I got that chemistry thing. I'm just not feeling it. I'm just, I feel a connection. I just don't, it's not happening. All right. I try to put it all into perspective. My ancestors worked 12-hour days of hard manual labor as farmers, and the hardest part of my job is showing up to my desk to hang out and pretend to be productive after already having got my projects done. Yeah. I have a dream. I have a dream. And my dream is that one day people will be told who to hate. And they'll say, no. No. I mean, it's a dream that can really only be fulfilled by better parenting and philosophy. But I do have a vivid dream that there'll be some asshole demagogue up there on his blood-soaked stadium saying, these people are bad, and you got to hate these people, and these people your enemies, and the unvaccinated, and the this, and the Russians, and everybody's, you got to hate these people, and they're bad, and oh, we're just so good for hating them, and you got to take away their rights, and attack them, and kill them, and people would just be like, no. I'm just not feeling it. You know, I get where you're coming from. I'm supposed to hate these people who look kind of like me. We're both bipeds and two eyes and a nose.
I know you're saying all of this, but I gotta tell you, man, you know, the hatred you're trying to instill in me, I don't have any chemistry with your hatred. I do have some hatred, though. I mean, you're right. I mean, you're talking about all this hatred stuff. I do actually have some hatred. I mean, I think we're all feeling it, would you say, my brothers and sisters? I think we're fucking hating the people like you who tell us to hate each other. You tell me to hate the unvaccinated? I'm going to take that hatred and maybe go back to its source. I do have that dream. That silver-forked-tongued devils will try to rouse the ugliest, most malevolent passions in the human heart and come up dry. Not powder dry, just dry. And people will be like, no, I don't, actually don't hate them. You know what? I don't hate them. I might hate you for trying to get me to hate them, but I don't hate them. I'm not saying it's going to happen today. I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow. I hope it's going to happen one day. Somebody says, I tried to follow your book, Real Time Relationships. But when I tell one person how I feel, they immediately say how they feel. Say it's my fault. And I don't ever get back to how I felt. They read RTR2. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm feeling kind of upset with you. Well, that makes me very upset. And let me tell you about my upset. And then they just fall into this hole of narcissism, right? Yeah. And very hard to focus on other people's feelings. For most people, like, you know how it goes. How many conversations? Tell me this. What percentage of the conversations that you have are just two people waiting their turn to talk? They're pretending to listen and waiting their turn to talk. What percentage of your conversations are two people staring at each other, pretending to listen and waiting for their turn to talk? 95? I mean, it's almost a given in the work environment, right? Online for sure. 70%. That's good. That's good. 95%. 60%. Well, look, we've all done it. Of course. I mean, it's going to happen, right? 90%. Yeah. Somebody says, I've been guilty of that in the past. Not me. I don't spend time with pretenders. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Yeah, so it's very, I mean, why do people call me for the call-in shows, right? I've done thousands of these things. There's a lineup from here to eternity. Why do people call me? Why do they call me? Other than it's free, right? But why do they call me? Somebody says, those moments where the truth starts to come through, something inevitably comes along and shuts it down. Emotional escalation or human resources. Yeah. Yeah, women have a tougher time with intellectual challenge and discomfort, a little bit, I think. And progress stops when you can't speak. You're a clever man, lots of experience. You listen hard and give incredible insight. You're often their last hope. Oh, maybe, yeah, maybe. Because you're the old man speaking to the crowds. So people call me up because I don't have an agenda to impose upon them. Yeah. You really attend and listen. You can provide an outside perspective with a lot of objectivity and philosophy and experience. I'm not trying to run an agenda. I'm not trying to get people to do things. I'm not trying to get them to a particular conclusion. It's because I really work hard to not impose an agenda, but rather to listen and provide value in the context that the person is working in. Obviously with some reference to philosophical values and moral values and so on, but really, really work hard to make sure that, like, I remember seeing Dr. Phil many years ago, that there were two brothers had a significant conflict. And he just said to them, oh, yeah, you think you're the only
two brothers, a conflict in their life. I was like, oh my God, like, what a stupid thing to say. Useless thing to say. Let's see here. You have, I think you have an incredible talent for psychoanalysis. Did you ever consider becoming a therapist? Boy, imagine if I'd become a therapist. That would be terrible. I mean, of course. I mean, I never really thought about it seriously. But imagine how terrible it would be if I had become a therapist. We wouldn't have these call-in shows, right? Somebody says, how did you get really good at listening and internalizing other people? So the way that you listen to other people is you listen to yourself, right? It's that great Listen Without Prejudice album from George Michael back in the day, right? Just listen without prejudice. Some part of you has something important to say. You listen to that person have something important to say, right? That's what you do. So if you're open to and listen to yourself without agenda or prejudice, then it's pretty easy to listen to other people without having that kind of prejudice necessarily. So I think that helps a lot. All right, any last questions or comments? Thank you so much for joining me on my explosive journey through truth, reason, and bicarbonate of soda water. Oh, well, you know, it's going to be a great lunch tomorrow. I mean, I have pretty good digestion as a whole, so. I often need to have something good to say, but being wrong is a frightening possibility. No, you got to be precise in your language there. It's not that being wrong is frightening. It's nothing. Being attacked is frightening, right? So if people attack you for being wrong, they will tell you, well, you're just wrong, right? And it's unacceptable, unprofessional, whatever. Right? So you're just wrong. They get mad at you because you're wrong, right? But wrong is just, being wrong is giving people power. And if they abuse that power, then they're probably not worth having in your life. So being frightening is not wrong at all. Sorry, being wrong is not frightening at all. Being attacked is frightening. And I guess people have convinced you that they attacked you because you were wrong. So you think being wrong leads to being attacked, which is frightening. Therefore, being wrong is frightening. But that's not even remotely close to true. People attack you not because you're wrong, but because they're bullies. No, they need an excuse to attack you, and that excuse happens to be that you made a mistake, or you did something wrong, or you dropped a plate, or you said something untoward, right? So, but they're bullies, right? They're just bullies. So being around bullies can be frightening, for sure, but it's got nothing to do with being wrong. Being wrong is just the excuse, right? Because if you get attacked for being wrong, it's much worse to attack someone for being wrong, and therefore they're much more wrong than anything they're criticizing, right? So, yeah, it's not... It's got nothing to do with being wrong. I just don't like your tone. It's like, okay, well, if tone is more important than content, you probably shouldn't be in intellectual discussions, right? If tone is more important than content, then you shouldn't be in intellectual discussions, right? Because you can't think spontaneously, you can't think passionately, you can't think powerfully, if you're tone policing yourself. The purpose of tone police is to cripple originality, right? The purpose of tone policing is to cripple originality. And the funny thing is, too, like a lot of the people who are into tone policing are also leftists or socialists or even communists. And it's like, you ever read any Karl Marx? Man, that guy did not tone police himself at all. So, yeah, it's all just a bunch of nonsense. Tone policing, what it's all about is, well, this is something I haven't heard before, and it seems kind of negative, so because I'm upset, you're in the wrong. Because I'm upset, you're in the wrong. It's like, that's not true. You're upset, it's yours to manage. Now, if you're hearing the same platitudes and nonsense that you've heard for your whole life, then it's not upsetting to you. If you hear something original, something incisive, something accurate, something honest, something truthful, something real, then you're going to be shocked and upset, and it's around destroying originality for the sake of broken record propaganda repetition. Marx said the N-word
More than once. And, you know, very anti-Semitic, right? Steph, you talk a lot about embracing your anger, and I've taken this advice to heart. But the other day, I had a road rage incident, and I feel guilty for overreacting, even though the person who cut me off put me in danger. I noticed it was an older woman, and I felt terrible. But I think if it was a man, I wouldn't have felt this guilt. Is this the tone police at work? Yeah, I mean, one of the greatest strengths of masculinity is nobody lets you play the victim. One of the greatest strengths of being a man is that no one lets you play the victim. The way we cripple women is to keep them in this perpetual toddlerhood of avoidance of consequences and tone policing and, right? Karl Marx was a broken man. Karl Marx was stone evil. I mean, hypocritical, viciously hypocritical, even by his own standards, right? Just, I won't get into the details. I mean, you can't exploit the workers. Well, he had sex with his maid, maybe not even consensually. When she got pregnant, he threw her out on the street to certain doom and disaster. So, no, he wasn't a broken man. He was a vicious and vile hypocrite. Yeah, go to fdrpodcast.com. You can watch the video, The Truth About Marx. All right, thank you for the work you do. Bought a month and looking to buy a whole year next month. I can really get my life in gear no matter what happens in the world. Thank you. I appreciate that. Really, really appreciate your support. Any last tips before I retire to my doubled over couch would be greatly appreciated. Hi, Steph. What's your thoughts on these women saving dogs and treating them like their children? These women often dislike real children. One of them threatened my 8-year-old. They're so weird. Yeah, and you're tipping on free domain? Yeah, freedomain.com/donate. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, so if you want to feel good, like, do you ever follow internet drama? You follow internet drama? Fights, conflicts, disagreements, upsets, right? So when you're doing real good in the world, you have drama enough for 10 lifetimes, right? When you're doing real good in the world, you have drama enough for 10 lifetimes. People manufacture relationship drama because they don't have the actual drama of being good, right? And people like to rescue dogs because it's never criticized and they never have to confront any bad people. If you try rescuing adult children or kids, then, you know, their abusive parents can have a lot to say about that and they can make your life kind of difficult, right? So, yeah, it's just about anybody who's doing good and nobody's disagreeing with them isn't really doing much good. And they certainly aren't expanding the circle of goodness. All right, just waiting for some last comments here. Yeah, you get accused of corrupting the young. Some of the relationships between Socrates and other male philosophers with the boys of Athens might have been a little upsetting for the parents of the environment. So it wasn't just that he was teaching them how to reason. It was a little bit more than that, I think. But yeah, I mean, if you're doing real good, then bad people will be upset because doing virtue by necessity is interfering with the interests of evil people. And evil people have a lot of power these days. So it's a dicey minefield. All right. Well, I think rather than take another break, I will stop here tonight. Hey, look at that. I made it almost an hour and a half. Thank you guys so much for a wonderful evening. Absolutely fantastic questions. As always, I love the stimulation you bring to me. I'm sorry that my energy is not massively peaking, but I'm basically giving birth to a watermelon through my belly button, it feels like. So we'll sort that out. We'll get that all done and have yourself a wonderful rest of the evening. freedomain.com/donate to help out the show. Don't forget to go to freedomain.locals.com to check out all the books you can get there. It's fantastic stuff. Fantastic stuff. If you don't love fiction, try my fiction out. Try my novels out. I think you will just love them. And if you don't, full refund of the zero price I'm charging. All right. Thanks everyone so much. Take care. Bye.